Welcome to episode 26 of What We Ate. I'm one of your hosts, Damien.
And I'm Gabrielle.
And this is the croissant craze. We got like a big old pack of croissants.
From good old...
Shout out, Kirkland! Mm-hmm. Yo, my boy Kirkland came through again. With some fine, fine quality croissants.
They're pretty good.
They were really good. They were flaky. They were buttery. It didn't taste like fake butter that was added on after anything. It was like definitely laminated in those layers. And it was to die for. So we kind of made a lot of shit with croissants.
Yeah, we went a little croissant crazy.
What do you got there,
Mole? I'm not even mad about it.
We got Mole. She's got something in her mouth
Mole.
Currently.
Hey, oh, that fun game of what's in your mouth.
Give it. Is it a paper towel? Is it a paper towel? It's a paper towel, guys. Mole is really good at finding errant on the floor paper towels. Let's hop into some COVID real quick. You know, we're trying to lighten that up because, you know, we've been doing it since the beginning. It's mostly to benchmark where we are. In relation to this podcast.
Still in a pandemic.
So it's good to have like a little record of it, I guess, in some way.
Yeah.
That we can look back on and show our great nieces and nephews and stuff.
All right. So we are in July. July 19th. And as of right now... Wow. We're getting real close to 4 million.
Wow.
We're getting real close.
Feels like we were just at 3 million like a week ago.
Yeah. I mean, just today we had 62,000 new cases.
That's not even like the worst, which is the bad part, you know?
Well, you know, and some change. I'm just...
Yeah. Well, lately it's been like getting up into the 70,000s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's, and they're still talking about opening schools.
Yeah.
I saw a funny meme. It was like, oh, the virus is bad enough to get Paul Manafort out of jail.
Right.
But, like, it's not bad enough to, like, send our kids back to school.
And sacrifice our teachers.
Yeah, sacrifice
for the
our
sake
teachers.
Of the economy.
Well, it's because they want to sack the educational system because they think it propagates leftist ideas.
Well, they want to privatize it.
Well, the real issue is that the more educated you get, I feel like the more liberal your ideas get, unless you become rich and then you start going the other way.
Yeah.
And, like, all these, like, everyday man kind of Republican talking heads on YouTube and stuff, like, They try to appeal to, like, oh, it makes sense to be a Republican if... And go against, like, everything that would be good for you, pretty much. But, like, when it comes down to it, they're probably doing it for money, you know what I mean?
I get the appeal.
It's just...
I mean, at the base of Republican is, right, smaller state.
I believe in that. You know what?
And I do believe in that.
I mean, everybody knows that we kind of lean a little libertarian
to
a way. And libertarian is, like, barely any government oversight on anything.
But then I do believe that corporations need regulations. Because, unfortunately, greed is usually put over all else.
Yeah. I like all the social aspects of being a libertarian. The liberties involved.
Yeah.
But... I don't think the free market is possible anymore. I think the free market works great when you don't have, like, you know, computer algorithms and supercomputers telling you what everybody, like, wants to buy before they buy it and stuff like that. That's not free market. That's, you know, like, marketing campaigns that are, like, just, like, it's just all psychology. It's all telling you what you want to buy and... Frankly, most people, like, don't see through that, and then they buy that shit.
Because
they associate with the
marketing
lifestyle.
Marketing crazy.
Yeah.
You do enjoy a good marketing campaign.
A good marketing campaign, because I see the psychology behind it, and I'm like, ooh, they did a good job with that, you know. I mean, everybody falls for it now and then. because it appeals to your sensibilities. It's all, that's what it's about. It's about finding its target audience or making it a wide, you know, you can target specific demographics. You can target, you know,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting marketing. It is. It's dirty and it's destroying this country.
Master manipulation.
Yeah. And there's a lot of manipulatable people.
Ain't that the truth?
So COVID's still fucked up. That was our little government rant. We have a lot of items here. Let's get into some mole talk. She's being super cute lately, as normal. We took her on a long road trip out to Joshua Tree yesterday.
That was so much fun.
To go see the Neowise Comet.
Yeah.
I am so glad we made the time to go out and do that.
Me too. I would have regretted it if we missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got it.
I mean, we wouldn't have even had... Hey, mole.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know, but she's trying to be on the podcast, I guess. She's kind of crazy right now, folks. Hey, you might be able to hear her freaking out. Yeah. there you go. Play with something. So you guys are going to for sure hear those jingles. That's mole. Yeah. You know. I just hope it's cute enough that it plays, you know? But yeah, I really recommend you guys, like, if you have an opportunity, go out somewhere that gets super dark at night and go look at this comet, because it shows up, like, right after the sun's finished going down, pretty much. And then, I mean, it was there pretty late after that.
It was there, like, I feel like all... Yeah. I mean, we were there for a couple hours, and it just kind of got brighter, I feel like.
The coolest part about it was, like, the top of a pyramid, kind of.
That was really cool.
Like, it looked like the Eye of Providence, kind of, you know? Like, on the back of the dollar bill, that, like, pyramid with the all-seeing eye. It was, like, it looked like that in the sky, kind of, like the shining of the Luxor or something like that, almost.
I mean, you could see it with the naked eye.
Yeah.
It's just a little challenging.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know where it is, sorry for the squeaks, guys, but I hope it's adorable.
We had a pair of binoculars that I'm really glad we took with us.
Yeah. Because not only were we able to see the comet, but if you look up, you could see the space dust. And not only that, we could see Jupiter, right?
Yeah, we saw the Milky Way galaxy.
Oh my God. It's galaxies the first time I've ever seen that.
It's a magical experience.
It was magnificent. I was so, like, just in awe of the, like, just the amount of stars we could see out there and all that space dust and, like, it's really, it's everything I thought it would be when I finally got to see it like that and more, you know?
It's beautiful.
Like, it's just so beautiful.
There were a few planets.
Yeah.
That we could, I believe there was, like, 5 planets in the sky that night.
Two.
Well,
I think.
There was there was also Mercury and Venus.
Oh.
There was Saturn and Jupiter.
Is Mercury still in retrograde? I'm a bad,
feel
like
it's always in my retrograde.
I'm bad at astrology, kind of.
And even with the binoculars, we were able to see the rings on Jupiter.
Yeah, a little bit. Because they're kind of vertical.
Yeah.
And we could only see, like, the bottom quadrant of it with the sun shining on it. Which is crazy, because, like, when you see planets, in the sky, it's because the sun's shining on them and you can see the sun reflecting off the surface. Obviously, because they're not, like, luminescent themselves. And, like, when you pull out the binoculars, or I guess, like, if you have, like, a big telescope, you can see, like, I didn't realize that even with binoculars, you can see, like, the surface of the planet. Like, that was crazy.
Those were really amazing.
Bird-watching glasses.
Really good binoculars.
Yeah.
They were, like, heavy-duty binoculars that were given to us by our friend,
mm-hmm.
Bridget. Thanks, B.
And
I think her mom was a big bird watcher, so she had these good binoculars.
So good.
think they were like, they're old too. They're from like the 70s.
But oh, shoot. Still work. Yeah. Bushnell's, they're a solid brand, yeah. You know? They really are. And yeah, it was just something else. And we saw some animals. We saw some jackrabbits.
Couple jackrabbits.
We saw some, like, I don't know if those are like those kangaroo mice or were they regular mice?
One was like jumpy and on its hind legs and had a longer tail.
Yeah. We saw some bats.
Oh, we saw a lot of bats.
Yeah. They were adorable. Like, good,
eat all the mosquitoes.
Yeah, and those killer bees that were supposed
to be. Oh, yeah, there were killer bees at Joshua Tree. Oh. There was an advisory. They closed down a couple of campgrounds.
Yeah, crazy.
So that was, like, kind of scary.
Yeah.
We saw a few fire ant mounds as we were walking through the desert in the dark, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we didn't step in that.
That was cool. We saw a roadrunner.
That was really cool.
That was super cool. And I looked it up, and yes, there are roadrunners there. So it totally was a roadrunner. I mean, it was a bird that was running down the road, so it must have been a roadrunner, right?
Literally
running down the road. Yeah. we heard coyotes.
Yeah.
And as we're leaving, an owl flew... like across our path on
that was crazy. Yeah. Like I thought we were gonna.
I saw mostly the wing, but like you could totally tell it was an owl.
I saw the body.
Yeah, it was like just thick, like the kind white. Of,
yeah,
right?
It was thick. Yeah. It was definitely an owl.
So cool, and I love owls. So like I was just beyond elated. I like just birds of prey in general.
Agreed.
I'm a big. Every time there's a hawk, I'm like, ooh, a hawk! Like
yeah,
check it
you
out
have a really good eye for spotting things thing. Like that.
Would you say I have? An eagle eye.
I would.
That was horrible.
I would.
That was so bad, guys. I'm sorry for making a corny joke that quickly. I think that's a good little, concise little intro. What do you think?
Solid.
All right, let's get on with the food portion of this podcast. All right, food time. First thing we made, this was the first use of the croissant, I believe. Mole is back up here. She can jump up onto the couch now, by the way.
That's a new one.
That's a new one. And jump down on her own. I remember when we first got her, she like kind of fell off of the thing and we were like all worried. Now she just like jumps down without a problem. And she's still so tiny. So I don't know what the deal is, but you might hear some extra noises because she's crazy and will probably, you know, bite the notes or slap it or something. The first thing we used the croissants for, you made these, and you made these a couple times, bacon, egg, and cheese croissants. You know, like good old Burger King croissant, which is way better.
Yeah. I'm a breakfast sandwich kind of gal.
Yeah, you are. That was really good. You toasted some cheddar on the croissants with toasted croissants, man. They are some of the most flaky, delicious thing I've ever had.
Agreed.
Hey, Mole, calm down.
She's like, going so crazy.
She's going
crazy
extra
right
crazy
now.
Right now. Wow. I might have to give her a busy bone thing.
Yeah, we might have to deal with it.
So, I'm going to attempt to keep this podcast going while simultaneously trying to take care of this dog situation. So, we made bacon, egg, and cheese croissants with cheddar melted into the croissant and a little side of blueberries, which was a nice little touch, I thought. Here you go, Mole. Yeah, I think that'll work. Boom, guys. I gave her a little chew stick to keep her a little busy.
She is all about these chew sticks.
All about it. And I think she's starting to teeth now. I think her other teeth are going to come in soon.
Yeah, we better keep an eye out for her teeth. They might be, like, around.
Yeah, might puncture a sock or something.
Make a cool,
it's okay,
like,
Mole.
Necklace with it.
Now she's, like, carrying her chew stick around and whining for some reason. But yeah, man, those croissants were bomb. They were real bomb. And the second ones were even more delicious. I think this time you did a mix of cheddar and not mozzarella, Monterey Jack, which is like just like a little bit dank mozzarella, kind of. Whoa. It's like dank, a little moisture mozzarella.
I've never heard her whine like this before.
Oh, yeah, come here.
She's being super whiny.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
She's being very weird.
Yeah. What's going on, Mole?
I don't know.
I think she just wants our attention.
Yeah, hey, I think she just wants our attention.
Come on. Come. Pop.
Maybe she could sit with you and...
Yeah, I don't mind.
She's not going to ruin your dress, right? See, guys, we're just having, like, a regular conversation amidst this podcast. You know that this is the kind of podcast that's more of, like, a hang, you know?
Mole.
So a little slice of life.
Come on, Mole.
The next thing we made after those... Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the cheese part. So you did it with the Monterey Jack, which is, like, dank... mozzarella, like low moisture mozzarella, kind of.
Pretty
like
much.
It just has like a little wang to it. And
it's a good melty cheese.
It's so good for melting.
And really versatile.
Like, and it'll get those crispy brown edges, but still be like melty in the middle. Yeah. And yeah, and speaking of pizzas, that's what we did with these mini naan pizzas that we made.
Yeah.
Naan being the Indian bread that we've talked about before that we like to make it. On,
I prefer to use that over, yeah. like,
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
It's so much better. Like, so usually, as we've said before, we'll make, like, pizzas out of the leftover naan from our Indian food. Well, this time we bought a box of that, like, Stonefire or whatever, like, mini naan breads. Where was that? Was that from Costco as well?
Also from Costco.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much where we've been getting everything, so,
it's a huge ass box. It's like huge. 18, but you just like put them in the freezer and they're fine.
Yeah, oh my god, they're so good. You just like you don't bake them very long either. We usually like do it, flip them over and then do it again, just to get the bottom kind of nice and done. Otherwise, they'll be kind of soft, which is fine. But it's nicer if it's a little bit crispy. And then for the sauce, we did something different. In the past, we've used, like, jarred sauce or whatever.
Which we had.
Which we did have.
We needed to use up some heirloom cherry tomatoes.
Yes. So what I did is I cooked them in just a little saucepan with some shallots and garlic and oregano and... I think a little rosemary or something. And then once they were cooked enough or blistered, then you smash them down with like either a fork or I used a potato smasher, which proved to be kind of a bad idea because they kind of squirt when you do that. So what I did is I poked holes in them all first before I really got to smashing. And made like just a little sautéed heirloom tomato like... Yeah, like, kind of spread kind of thing. It was a little bit thicker than traditional pizza sauce.
I thought it was perfect.
It was so good.
I definitely prefer that over using, like
a
jarred
sauce. Yeah.
Pizza, or not pizza, but pasta like stuff. Pasta sauce.
Yeah, for sure. It was so damn good. And, like, oh, it was so good. And then... Like we said before, we used some Monterey Jack on top, and it got, like, browned around the edges, just like the low-moisture mozzarella they use on the pizza. It got, like, those bubbles in it. It was just, oh, my God, it was just so damn good. And, like, it totally scratches the itch for, like, a slice of pizza.
Oh, for sure.
And the naan bread is, like, just eons better than, like, what are those called? Bobbly or something? Those, like, pre-made crusts? Or, like, a DiGiorno crust or something like that.
Yeah, they're way better than those pizzas.
Yes. So much better. It tastes like a real pizza. It does.
It really does.
And it's just baked in your own oven. It's,
yeah.
But it tastes like, you know, wood-fired. Because, you know, the tandoori ovens... They're not too different from, like, a brick oven. They're just, like, circles, and they slap them on the side. I mean, I don't know if that's how they're made in the, like, large-scale production. Yeah. But it gives it that effect of, like, that it was kind of like in a wood-fired oven or something. It was good. The next day, we made the air fryer raclette. Except it wasn't so much a raclette as it was a cheese disc.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad, and I wasn't mad.
I mean, it was still good. It wasn't the effect we were going for, yeah. But I mean, who doesn't love a fucking cheese crisp?
We did it a little bit extra. By we, I mean myself. We put it in there too long. Oh, well. I mean, yeah, like you said, who doesn't love a cheese crisp? It didn't get burnt. It just got, like, that good dark brown cheesy kind of thing. So, and then we had it with, so, was it last week or the week before when I talked about when we went to your mom's with the, that pork?
The pork adobo.
Yeah.
What about it?
So I used the leftover potatoes from that.
Oh, yes.
And I tried this thing where I would smash them down with a fork because they were already cooked, so you could kind of just do that. And then, like, spray them with a little oil and throw them in the air fryer and make, like, these weird little smashed air fried potato things. And I thought that would go good with the raclette, because usually we do, like, the rounds of potato, but just to use it up and, you know, I did that. It was kind of hard to time them to make them, like, at their crispiest when we served them, given that I had to make the raclette in the air fryer as well. You know what I mean?
I would be down to one day get, like, a larger air fryer.
Yes. They have, like, double-decker ones, kind of. Like, it's, like, they kind of look like a toaster oven, but they're, like, a double air fryer kind of thing.
I mean, I know they have, like, little shelves you can put in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, supposedly ours could do that, but it's so small, like, you can't fit shit.
Yeah.
It's... I mean, maybe if we're, like, cooking for one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not optimal for, like, multiple parts of the dinner being made in it, you know? We do it fairly often, but it's not, like, the best. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What kind of cheese? Did we use the mozzarella again for that? I think it was, like, cheddar and mozzarella. I mean,
the Monterey Jack.
The Monterey Jack.
Yeah.
I think it was Monterey Jack,
like,
and
a
little cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we put Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
We could have.
I think I put shallots on top, too, and garlic. Those got a little too crispy as well, but, you know. Who doesn't like charred, like, shallots and onions? Right?
For sure.
Then... I think, was it the next day or was it the same night? It might have been the same night. Because, you know, raclette, when you're having just, like, a couple smashed potatoes and roasted cauliflower with it, and then just, like, a piece of cheese, you might get a little hungry. And we had just done a walk, I think, up by your work with Mole. Is that when we saw the baby parrots?
Oh, we saw the baby parrots.
So there's, like, parrots that, I don't know if they're necessarily wild, or did some escape from, like, a thing, and then
the story goes that in LA there was a fire at a pet store, and instead of seeing the animals die in the fire, the employees released all the animals, including some parrots. And they have been thriving in Los Angeles.
Is that where the Komodo dragon of Baldwin Park comes from?
Okay, really?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagle Rock Echidna. If you hear scratching outside of your window at night, sometimes you can spot him.
Oh, I heard this crazy story in the news, like, I don't know, maybe last year, the year before last, that there was a white albino, an albino cobra. Wow. That was going around, like, I think, like, Thousand Oaks or something. Through really? People's backyards.
A cobra?
Fucking cobra.
Whoa.
And obviously illegal. And some dude was, like, had a bunch of exotic animals at his house. Including, like, an alligator, some other bullshit. And then it got out.
Wow.
Yeah. That was kind of funny. And I believe that cobra is living in the San Diego Zoo.
Oh, really?
In their reptilian...
Did we do that when we went there?
No, we did not.
Why?
Because we just did... It's huge. Fucking zoo. There's
next
so
time
much
we go,
do.
Which I hope there is another one. Well, we almost did that safari thing.
That was the plan for my birthday. I wanted to do, like, the safari. I'm not going to Africa, which I would love to do, but...
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. I just don't have fucking...
But until now, let's go to San Diego.
Ouch. Yeah, well, pretty much.
Yeah. The San Diego Zoo, I was very impressed with.
Isn't it great? It's the best. Most zoos are fucking depressing.
Yeah.
You get these little habitats. I remember I went to the zoo in Tennessee, somewhere in Tennessee. I forget. I think I was in Memphis. I was in Memphis, yeah. Went to the Memphis Zoo, and I'm going around, and I roll up on the polar bear, and that was the most fucking depressing.
Was it like brown? And not even
it was so depressing. This poor polar bear had this little pool. It was like a fucking kiddie pool.
Really?
And he was just swimming in circles. I was like, aw, that just broke my heart, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
It is fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. But anyway, we saw some baby parrots.
In the wild.
Yeah, they were... Okay, so we parked and we looked up on the telephone pole next to us and, like, on the wires there were two parrots. And they
really
were chilling and then eventually they, like, flew over to this hole in a tree. Kind of like how, like, you would see in children's books, like, an owl in the hole in the tree.
Yeah.
But, like, these parrots went to a hole in a tree and they were, like... ducking in and, like, it seemed like they were feeding
their
babies.
Heads, yeah.
And then we started seeing these little parrot heads popping out and, like, looking out with, like, no feathers on their wings.
Naked,
they were, like, little chickens.
Naked. Yeah. It was so cute.
They were pretty big, though. I was surprised how big the parrot
babies
were. They were, like, 3/4 of the size of a regular parrot, maybe. And these parrots aren't, like, huge in the first place. They're not, like, a big old, like... macaw or anything like that, you
they're
know.
They're smaller.
They're on the smaller
side. But they're
side.
Still pretty big.
They're gorgeous. And they're like, what are they, green or like
rusty?
They're like
rusty? A bright neon. They're different shades. There's like a neon green.
Like a pea green.
Yeah, they're just...
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. And loud as fuck.
Yeah.
They're
they
so
make the
loud.
Worst sounds ever.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you'll just be like on the highway and you just hear all this screeching and then like it's them.
Whatever or you just see
Polly
this,
want
like,
a cracker, huh?
Or you'll see this, like, cloud of neon green, and you're like, what the fuck? And you realize it's, like, hundreds of parrots.
Yeah. It's kind of wild.
It
really
is wild.
Like that. There's also peacocks up there.
Yeah, there's wild peacocks.
What is going on up there?
I don't know.
There's, like, parrots,
the story
peacocks.
Goes there was, like, a botanical garden, and the peacocks, like... They had the peacocks and these animals in the gardens, but peacocks can fucking kind of not
fly,
but like
yeah,
they jump
fly.
Real fucking high.
They don't just like,
they
they're
glide.
Not like Hancock or anything.
Right.
You seen that movie? Hancock?
Is that the superhero
Will Smith?
One?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And he like jumps super high. I don't know. I haven't even thought of that movie in like years. I don't know why that was my first go-to.
I know, that was weird.
That was a weird go-to. Sorry, guys.
It
sometimes my
jump.
Brain works a little weird, I guess. So, after we had the raclette, I figured out what to do with that giant zucchini that had been kicking around the kitchen. On the ottoman for some reason. For the last like week or so. And that was, I split it in half, scooped out the seeds, which this
it was huge.
It was so big, like it was definitely like a little too mature. Like it was picked a little bit late. And it had like hard seeds in
big ass seeds.
Yeah, like ones that like you couldn't really eat like it with. Like a pumpkin seed, almost.
Yeah, it was as big as a pumpkin seed.
It was turning into a gourd. I think they're already gourds, aren't they? They're, like, related to pumpkins. But I digress. Back to the food. So I scooped out the seeds. I did a little bit of salting of it. And then we had some leftover of that tomato sauce that we made the mini pizzas with, because we had made some earlier that day. I think you made some of those pizzas for lunch. And there were some of the tomatoes left over. So I was like, okay, I'm going to use this leftover tomatoes and to, like, help make the filling for the zucchini.
That was a boss fucking move right there.
Thank you very much.
I will say, I was really hesitant. I was not looking forward to this.
Yeah.
And you blew my fucking mind, Damien.
Oh, thank you.
It was amazing.
What I did was I mixed the tomatoes with some mozzarella that I shaved on the grater. Or I grated.
You mean
it.
Monterey Jack?
Yeah, I keep calling it mozzarella. Because we keep using it as mozzarella. That's
pretty
why.
Pretty much.
So I grated some Monterey Jack. Probably, I want to say I did a little bit like, I probably had a little bit more cheese than I had tomatoes left, which was fine.
Oh, yeah.
Or about equal parts, maybe. I don't know. But then I crushed up a bunch of kind of going old Aldi-style Ritz crackers.
Oh, you did.
So I, like, crumbled them up and made it like a stuffing with those crackers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So we had those crackers that had gone a little bit stale. They were probably stale when we got them at Aldi. I'm kidding. I love Aldi. But the crackers, I how many did I do about? I probably did like 10 or so crackers.
I don't even know.
I don't know, but I just mixed it up with the cheese and the leftover tomato like saute thing. And I don't think I even really seasoned it. I might have put a little bit of salt in it just to get it to a better...
Well, there was a bunch of seasoning in the sauce.
Yeah, there was already, like, a concentrated flavor profile in the tomatoes and, you know, so... then I filled the half of the zucchini with the stuffing. Put some more cheese on top of that, and threw it in the toaster oven. And, oh boy.
It reminded me of the pizzas that we have been eating, but, like, a healthier version.
Yeah. It kind of is like that, because it does have that, like, Italian flavor profile.
Because that's
of
what
like,
we use.
Like, I've had, like, fried zucchini Italian things where you dip it in, like, marinara and have cheese on it and stuff like that. It reminded me of that, and I'm into it. I would even do, like, different styles of that. Like, maybe, like, an Herb de Provence and, like, pork sausage kind of thing. Or, like... You know, you could do, like, a ground chicken kind of version of it, probably. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Or, like, a ground turkey, bell pepper kind of cheese thing. All right,
you lost me.
No, I'm just spitballing here. I haven't really put, like, too much thought into this. But you could do a lot with it, I feel like. And, you know, it was just damn good. And I thought we were going to, like, maybe finish one, and I thought you were going to have one slice of it, think it was okay, but not want more. And we ended up eating both halves. And this sucker was, like, 18 inches long, this zucchini. Yeah, so it was massive.
Yeah. And it was as thick as your, like, forearm.
Yeah. It was basically like a forearm zucchini. So maybe like it was like
forearm, not like a 14 petite inches. Petite forearm.
Yeah, like, you know, like my forearm. Yeah. So we got to do that again for sure.
I agree. Please do.
We will. The next day after that, I made something that I dubbed, and I'm sure this has been done before, like, I don't know, like Dairy Queen or something. I made the croissant dog.
Oh, I was into it.
So we just like split some croissants.
Right.
And cut some of those weenies, those Louisiana hot links. In half, so like it was like that style of like the half fried hot dogs. And did you melt some cheese in that croissant?
Yeah,
I thought so. So there were some melted cheese in the croissant. Again, I just love how the cheese like goes into the little like craters and flakes of the, oh my god, it's so good. And it really, it kind of holds it together too a little bit, you know, because they're so flaky, you know. And then I put mustard on mine. I don't know if
you... I put mayo in mine.
Mayo?
Oh.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I've heard of mayo dogs.
Wait, what?
Growing up, there weren't many mayo. It was like you put mustard on your hot dog and you shut up about it.
That's too, like... People who say things like that are They're just really closed-minded. Weird. Yeah, when we're like, oh, the only way to have it is this. I'm like, well, what a sad life. Yeah. Like, what a sad...
Well, I mean, I always got sauerkraut. And you know what people say
I think that's weird, but you know what? You do you.
Yeah.
You
I mean, I like... You. I'll say it right now. I like ketchup on a hot dog. You're not supposedly supposed to. It's supposedly you're not supposed to. Supposedly it's...
Who are they?
The hot dog police.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fucking
the hot dog police, it's like a black and white American flag with like a hot dog line going through it.
Hot dog lives matter. God,
yes. All hot dogs are bastards. Oh my god, this is ridiculous. So it's ridiculous, much like the croissant dog. Like that
no, doesn't that sound
Yeah, but it sounds like a bad, like, 7-Eleven, like, no, promo item.
It's for sure trashy. But some trash is delicious. So
yeah, and I bet if you, like, wrapped the hot dog in a croissant, that would be good. That sounds like something they would have at, like, an Asian, like, bakery.
Oh, I've had that at Asian.
Oh, they have that?
They have hot dog bread, and it's
delicious. Oh, the, like, oh my god, the, like... Yeah. Octopus-looking one?
Yes. Hot dog bread is fucking
I'm pretty sure we've talked about Asian bakeries and how much we love them.
Love Asian bakeries.
Like, Chinese bakeries and stuff, like...
Love it.
They have some, like, really well-executed stuff, and, like, they love, like, weird stuff. It's, like, cold, but it has, like, little mini pork flakes on it, and like
the sung.
Cold hot dogs. Yeah, sung pork sung. That stuff's bomb. Sung, yeah. And they'll just have like mayo, and I'm like, is this like it's okay to be it. Out like
they
that?
They have scallion bread.
I think you know what mayo. I think is less temperamental than people say it is.
Yeah, you always freak out with mayo. I was like, yeah. What's the problem?
Well, growing up, thought if it was like out of the fridge for like 5 minutes, you're gonna get salmonella.
You're fine. Just build up your gut biome.
Yeah, it's. I've never had salmonella.
What's a little diarrhea? Come on.
Okay, I guess. Is it worth it though? Like.
Yes.
Yeah. I love pork song, actually.
I had 20, you should say that, in one of my online carts as we speak.
Pork
is
song?
A giant tube or giant tub of pork song.
What are we going to do with it?
I don't know. I just want it.
What's it like? Is it
I
like,
just want it in my life.
Is it like dehydrated?
Yeah,
pork
like
or so it's
I
okay
figure,
to
like,
just keep.
Yeah,
or?
Like I wanted to bake with it.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to just like if you an emergency pork
yeah.
or protein.
Sprinkle
you know?
It on top of a bun
exactly.
bao or like,
or just like steam some rice and
then
just put shit,
pork
some of that
on
shit
it?
On top.
I guess.
I don't know, I just want it.
That and furikake or something?
Yeah, yeah, a little rice vinegar, a little soy sauce. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so.
Who am I kidding? I put teriyaki sauce.
Yeah. Oh, do we talk about that later on? Yes, we do. Okay, good. the next day, let me look at these notes, I made that cauliflower cheese that we had for dinner that
Oh,
night.
That was lovely.
Oh, my God. It was, I think I used a little bit too much flour in the roux because we were,
yes.
like, struggling. But I thought we were also kind of trying to make extra for the potential mac and cheese that we didn't have any left over for.
Yeah.
So
but we
like,
needed to eat. We have a bunch of shit ton of veggies that we have to eat through.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ate this cauliflower. We got back from the dog park because we've been really... and we've been exercising after the park, too, by running stairs.
Running is a big word.
Well, like, going up the stairs.
Yeah.
We've been doing stairs.
We've been climbing up lots of stairs.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, just get a little exercise in.
Like, no joke, like 10 flights of stairs.
It was pretty crazy. Silver Lake is known for having, like, these wild staircases.
Yeah,
that,
there's
like,
a
go
really
up the
hilly
mountains.
Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it's like probably 10 stories to the top, maybe more.
It's a lot.
To hell with a lot. So I made cauliflower cheese. I don't know how that relates to that, but I did. And we made the roux. We added milk and cream, and we made like a bechamel to start off with.
And you wanted to stop there.
No, I pointed out that some recipes would stop there. Like, it's like for the bechamel sauce. But we kept going. We added some more of that mozzarella. I mean, not mozzarella.
You know what? Mozzarella. Every time Jamie and his saying mozzarella.
Mozzarella counter. Bing. Yeah. Monterey Jack. We put some cheddar in there. And a little dash of nutmeg. A little white pepper. And salted it to taste. And then we just like poured it into the cauliflower cheese. I had an idea of like making it like a ham and cheese prosciutto kind of one, but like like we didn't end up doing that. You know, like it probably would have been good, but like, you know, we'll save the prosciutto for something else
yeah.
more interesting. But it was a damn good cauliflower cheese. We had a little bit left over to eat the next day, and which was kind of surprising. I kind of thought we were going to finish it all. I know I tried, that's for sure. So that's about that for that. Next item on the list, for lunch the next day, I think you had gone to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a prosciutto and melted cheese croissant. So pretty much what I did is I just put Monterey Jack, I didn't call it mozzarella this time, on both sides of the croissant and just melted it until the cheese was like perfectly melty and brown on the edges, and then just like draped a little piece of prosciutto on it nicely.
Oh wow.
And ate it, and it was just like a little ham and cheese croissant.
That
with like
really
quality
good.
Ham. It was so good. Like beyond good. I think that was also the day where you brought back that little bowl of...
Oh, yeah.
Let's actually go into that, because I don't know much about what that was.
It was a Caribbean-style restaurant in downtown
okay.
L.A. called... I want to say Beautiful Life was the name of the restaurant.
Okay.
And I got the jerk chicken with rice and beans... I think it was black beans. And then, like, sautéed cabbage. And that jerk chicken was fucking spicy.
It was.
Like, my mouth was burning. And so when I first ate it, when I was in Jamaica, the dude, he was like, here, you eat it with ketchup.
Okay.
So that's what I did to cut
Was it pica pepper?
No, I...
Because they call that Jamaican ketchup.
No, he brought ketchup.
Oh, it was like Heinz status? Like, he brought
fucking ketchup.
Or Del Monte, or like Hunt's or something.
I don't even remember what ketchup he brought me, but he brought me ketchup.
Yeah. Bob Marley ketchup. No, I'm just kidding. That would be cool, though. It would, like, be like weed-infused ketchup.
My old roommate was dating Bob Marley's, because he was in a reggae band.
Bob Marley was?
No. Obviously, my roommate, he was like the lead singer for some reggae band. So he had met Bob Marley's daughter at some reggae festival backstage, and they started dating. He always had all this Bob Marley merch.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, Bob Marley coffee, Bob Marley...
Yeah, like, they have a lot of stuff. That's why I said the ketchup thing.
All this random Bob Marley merch, and she would give it to him, and then he would give it to me, so... Bob Marley coffee, delicious, by the way.
We had Bob Marley headphones for a little while. Yeah. Was that from that, or the... No, that was from Bridget, actually.
No, that was from Bridget, but yeah.
Like, same thing, yeah.
Then what's in your mouth?
I think his kids make more money off of his image than his music, by far.
Yeah, I don't know.
His estate, or whatever. Molly's got fluff. Yeah. Oh, she's been destroying this pillow that's, like, under
she's
where I work.
She's teething, for
she's
sure.
She's for sure. She's biting everything.
Yeah.
Hey.
We need to redirect it.
Molly, no. Oh, did you finish your chew stick?
And she now you're fucking devoured that chew stick.
She used to not be able to even make, like, any progress on those. And now she's, like, finishing them in, like, what was that? Like, 40 minutes or something?
I wish she bit on her, like, pig ear.
Yeah!
Should we try to, like,
reintroduce it to her? Maybe not in the middle of the podcast, but I'm down.
Yeah. I think we just did it too early.
Yeah. So that their food was good, though. I was down. It had, like, yellow peppers in it, too, that were good. Right? They were, like, a little spicy.
It was super spicy.
Well, I mean, the pepper itself. My mouth was on fire. The jerk chicken was spicy. Yeah, it was good, though.
It was good, though. It was flavorful spicy.
I love that Jamaican flavor.
I'm into the jerk chicken.
What's that have, like, allspice and stuff in it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Jamaican curry is also really good.
I don't know if I had Jamaican curry.
It is so good. My brother Sam, he had a friend that was Jamaican, and his parents, like, brought some Jamaican curry. You're making me hungry thinking about this right now. No, but that was terrible as well. Jamaican chicken curry. And it was, like, some of the best, like, curried chicken I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. It was so good. It was, like, you know how chicken's, like, falling off the bone when it's, like, rotisserie?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, but, like, curry flavored, kind of. And, like, it was more of, like, a curry rub, I think, than, like, in a sauce, like, curry.
Okay, so it was,
if,
like,
my memory
dry,
serves me.
It wasn't very wet?
It wasn't super wet or anything, but it was, like, it was, like, juicy chicken. Like, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be
like
down.
Tandoori chicken, but, like, way better than
a lot of there's. I looked online and there's a few, like, it looks like all the highest rated Jamaican or, like, Caribbean restaurants are all in South LA.
Oh yeah. We'll have to. I think there's some in, like, I think there's a couple in Long Beach as well.
Did I hear that? I would be down to, like,
Long Beach has got a lot of good food.
There's a thriving subculture in Long Beach.
Yeah. Wasn't there Cambodian food down there too?
Yeah, the second largest concentration of Cambodians in the U.S. is in Long Beach.
Wow. I think I've had Cambodian food like maybe once or twice. It's good. It's kind of like a mix between like Thai, but it has like some like more elements that are like unique to it, you know? Like I think they have larb and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do have.
But like they have like other things that like I think it's also like kind of similar to Laotian food. I think they have some.
Yeah.
And there's some like I mean, I don't really know for sure, but, like, that's how it's been explained to me. I would love to try that, for sure. So, once things get kind of back to normal, maybe we could go down and check out some food down in Long Beach.
I mean, we can still just, like, take it to go. We just gotta find, like,
a drive down
somewhere to eat it.
Okay. Yeah, you don't... You're not one to travel with food.
I'm not.
I'm always, like... Okay, let's take this home. And you're like, well, I thought we were going to eat in the car real quick. I was like, oh.
Well, because food, most food doesn't, okay.
What about most? A lot of food doesn't travel.
A lot of food does not travel well if not properly, if you don't take the care to package it, which most places do not.
Right.
That's why there's only one restaurant out of all the times I've ordered food.
Yeah.
I feel packages food adequately, and that's Ho-Ho.
That's why I was wondering why you wanted to get those crispy sushi rolls. Because, like, that's not going to travel well, but it did somehow. Like, that surprised
me. Because the restaurant was also, like, a mile away from my house. It was pretty close,
but, like, still, it would have steamed in the thing. Well, it didn't really. Maybe it's because sushi's not super hot and it's, like, flash fried real quick.
Exactly.
That might be why. So it didn't, like, steam up as much.
Mole. Because there's a lot of cool ingredients involved in that.
Cool it, mole. She's going crazy. Oh, she just jumped up.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, indeed. So back to the food. The next item on the list here.
Ew, she's licking your beer. No. Oh, my God.
That's my dark and stormy mole. You can't drink that. You're a pup. We had some spam musubi plates.
Oh, I love that.
Some deconstructed spam musubi. Like, first got into spam musubi, we were all about, like, making the rice cakes and, like, spam on top and, you know, wrapping it with the gim. Or not the gim, but the sushi roll stuff.
It's just too much work.
Yeah. So what we do now is we just slice the spam, we grill it up, we make some rice, we season the rice, and then we use gim packs, like the Korean seaweed laver, and just, like, make little, like, tacos of it, and it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Same fucking thing.
Same thing. But you get the extra crispiness of the seaweed.
Yeah, and then you made a really good sauce with it, too.
Yeah.
I really liked your sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you made, like, a special sauce.
I made a very simple, yet I think effective kind of teriyaki kind of sauce, dipping sauce. It was based with honey and soy sauce. I added a bit of water. I added some garlic powder, a little black pepper, and I think that's really it. I added a little more honey at the end, but that was pretty much it.
It was delightful.
And it was good. It was like, I think we even have a little bit left.
Yeah. I've been craving some more spam musubi, but...
Oh, well, we'll
every
give
time
it a
I
little
suggest
rest.
It, you're like, no.
Well, you know, I love
I
it, but
love
like,
it.
Spam's like kind of not
high
great
in sodium.
For you. So, like, I just want to limit it to like at least like once every 2 weeks or something.
I know.
But I'm all about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about it. The next thing on the list here are the chicken enchiladas.
Oh my god, those were so good. And you know what, I don't even like enchiladas all that much.
You don't But you like these kind, like the real kind.
I like real enchiladas, so, which most people don't make real enchiladas. It's more like an enchilada casserole.
Or like a Mexican lasagna.
Yeah, legit. Like that's not the traditional method of making enchiladas.
I like that kind. I know you're not a big fan. I personally like
the
that
tortilla
casserole.
Gets weird.
The tortillas do get weird. They're like treated like lasagna noodles, kind
of. Yeah.
Or like baked, I don't know. It just seems, it's just not anything like the real ones. So why don't you go over the process for making the real ones? Cause
so, I mean, I can only speak from my experience. This is what my mom taught me as the traditional way of making enchiladas. And she, my family's from, Zacatecas. And that method of making enchiladas is you make your salsa, whatever salsa you
which
want.
Which I made.
That was
you liked
damn
my salsa,
I liked it
huh?
A lot.
My salsa consisted, it was a very simple salsa. It was some Roma tomatoes, which were nicely ripe. Hey, mole. Mole's like biting my wrist right
She's
now.
So
she
crazy
is
right
really
now.
Crazy. We didn't get to bring her to the park today, so she didn't like get out all of her wiggle time. So she's a little bit wound up right now. But I used Roma tomatoes. I used, was that a pasilla pepper? I think it was pasilla.
I want to say,
they're not like particularly spicy, and I like salsa to have a little spice to it. So I just put a dash of cayenne. I know that's kind of cheating, but we didn't have any jalapenos. Or we couldn't find them, at least, if we do have them.
I don't think we do.
I don't think so either. So, it is what it is. Add a little salt. Did I use shallots in that? Yeah, I used shallots, I believe. Some shallots and some garlic. And actually, what my the first thing I did was grind up some cilantro in there. You know,
I don't think that makes a difference. I mean,
the cilantro?
No, that doesn't. I don't.
I just did it. I just did it while I was getting the other stuff ready.
Yeah, I don't really think it makes a difference at what point you do it in the process.
No, no. But sometimes, like, it'll get stuck, kind of like with the stems around the edge kind of and stuff. So I gave it like I did that first. It's totally just a choice. It didn't necessarily
doesn't do anything. It.
Yeah. But I wasn't like, oh, the secret to my salsa is that you do
that.
Well,
you mentioned it like it was
I just
no,
cuz you asked me if I put any cilantro in it yet and I said that was the first thing I ground up. That's what happened.
Oh, the night you made the salsa. Yeah,
yeah
I did
yeah.
ask you if you put in
cilantro. So, I did that, and then we took the leftover chicken breast. What was that chicken from? Oh, no, that wasn't what the leftover was from. We baked it for that.
Yeah, we defrosted the chicken breast and baked it in the toaster.
Yeah. And, We actually had a thing left over, which is the next item, but we shredded up the chicken, mixed it with that delicious salsa, and we also dipped the tortillas in the salsa, right?
So the method of making the enchiladas is you make the salsa first. Mm-hmm. Then you get the tortilla and you fry the tortilla lightly in a pan. And once you fry the tortilla on both sides lightly, set them to the side. And then once you have your stack of fried tortillas, you dip the tortilla in the salsa, both sides. And then on the inside, you place the drenched tortilla on a plate, mm-hmm. and then you put your fillings. And for us, it was the chicken that was also shredded and mixed in with the salsa. And we put shredded cheese, and then you put extra salsa in the middle, make sure it's nice and saucy. and then you fold it over, like fold it in threes. And repeat.
Whoa. You all right there, Molly? She tried to jump up and then crash down.
She's fine.
It was like a six-inch fall. Yeah. I think she just slipped. Yeah. So, I also made rice that went with the thing.
Oh, the Mexican rice you made was
good. I made some bomb-ass Mexican rice, for sure. So, in the same food processor, it was pretty much all the same ingredients except for a pepper and cilantro. And I just ground them up in there. So it was like tomato, it was like a tomato sauce, like a fresh tomato sauce. I called it also a salsa, but you were like, it's definitely not a salsa if there's no chilies in it.
Well, duh, that's like the definition. At least the But doesn't commonly, salsa mean
sauce?
It's the commonly accepted term for salsa.
Right.
For a salsa, it's like spice, you know, like that is the accepted term for that.
What if there was residuals of the pepper on the inside of the
Oh my god, I don't care. Call it whatever the fuck you want.
Well, anyway, it was like a tomato sauce with onions and garlic in it, and I poured it. Well, first what we did, right, is I took some butter and oil, and we fried the raw rice in a pan to get it toasted.
That is a crucial,
super crucial
part to the method. And I've tried like skipping this part, and it just does not come out the same.
Like the sushi Mexican rice that we made that time.
Yeah, it's just
that was good.
Not
I liked
same.
That.
Like
one.
It's rice comes out so much better when you fry it first.
Yeah, for freaking sure. And it might take a little bit longer. Like, mine soaked up the water differently than it normally would.
It kind of takes a while for it to dry. Especially if it's wet.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I fried it without even washing it.
In the rice cooker, it took longer to soak up all the water when it was fried than normal. That was my experience, anyway. Or maybe we just adjusted wrong. Well, whatever.
I think it was just... So, when I do it, I count for... I don't always count the chunk as a liquid.
Oh, you know, the sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah. And,
And honestly, I mean, I use raw tomatoes, but I grew up with my mom using canned tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, you can for sure use canned tomatoes.
Like, they, and I've, I don't do that because I'm like, why am I going to use a canned tomato when I have fresh tomatoes? Yeah.
That's true.
But, yeah. That's why the rice is, like, orange or red or whatever.
Oh, that's why? It's the tomatoes?
Yeah.
I fried it in the thing. I added a little bit of that sauce to it to just kind of, like, get it flavored in there. And then I threw it in the rice cooker with more salsa. Or, I'm sorry, with more of the tomato sauce. You, like, you cringed when I said it. And and some pollo consomme, like the Knorr powder.
Yeah.
The chicken bouillon powder. And, boy, was that stuff good. It's just, like, there's something about, like, how thoroughly it was flavored, right?
It's delicious.
It was so freaking good. Let's see, the next thing I made, because we're getting ready to wrap up here, is... chicken salad croissant sandwich, which we had one today as well. Like I said, we had a leftover chicken breast. And
well, I had made those two breasts with the intention of...
Of saving one for... Yeah.
To make a chicken salad.
Because might as well make two at a time.
Yeah.
And I cut up some red onion this time. Shallots would have been a little too pungent, I think, for it. But we used red onion. I diced up some grapes... poppy seeds, mayo. I was kind of going for that wine country, Trader Joe's kind of feel. There was some, like, leftover grated cheddar from something. So I just threw that in there, too. Like,
that
whatever.
Was a good move.
A little garlic powder, black pepper, white pepper, Am I missing anything that was in there? Walnuts. Toasted some walnuts in the toaster oven. Crushed them up and threw those in there too. And then, you know, you toast up the croissant. And then you spread on the chicken salad. And it's damn good as well.
It was delicious.
It was super good. I've made it before, and I think this was one of the better times. It needed a little extra mayo after the second day.
But that always happens.
That happens.
Yeah, that's normal.
It's just part of the game. So yeah, that's that has been our week of food.
It was a good, delicious week. It's finally cooled down a bit.
Yeah.
So it's been more like manageable to cook.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like low to mid 80s versus like 90s.
That's pretty nice. So next week we're actually going on a little camping adventure. So the episode might be a little bit late, but fear not, we will return. And we might have some camping cooking stories.
I am very, very excited to cook over an open fire, you guys.
Oh, yes. So like, we've been watching some videos.
I've been prepping for like months.
You've been watching like car camping videos for like the last like 3 months.
I'm like obsessed with car camping. I want to live out of a car.
It seems like an interesting lifestyle. I mean you could go anywhere. You could work from like a remote location. There's so much you can do and see, and it's very appealing. I mean, as you guys know, we're not the most
conventional
people, and we're kind of losing faith in capitalism, and you know, it's becoming more and more compelling to just like drop out of normal society and go camping for the rest of your life.
I mean, I just recently joined normal society. Okay, this is fairly new to me.
I see.
And the more I live it, the less appealing it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just reminds me of like. Yeah. Anyway,
I just
want to
get in,
life.
Make some money, and get out.
Get
that's
the kinda, fuck out.
That's kind of what. Way to do it, I think. So, thanks again for listening. We will be back next week, like again, a little bit late, but we will have an episode. And stay hungry out there.
Nom nom.
Bye.